Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Aleph. We left off on the very bottom of daf Yud Amud Beis. Today's daf is pretty much all of Hilchos Mezuzah. There are a couple of other sugyas in Shas, in Menachos and Bamitziah, where we discuss Hilchos Mezuzah, but we have a large bulk of the halachos of Mezuzah that come up in today's daf, so we'll see how much of it we're able to cover as we learn through the course of today's daf. We're going to discuss whether the gates of a city require Mezuzah. We're going to discuss issues of, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of putting up a Mezuzah when people are going to suspect you of doing some sort of witchcraft or black magic, and it's therefore going to be Sakana, and what the limits are of Shluchei Mitzvah. We're going to discuss storage rooms, rooms that are used for non-kavadic usage. We're going to have a machlokas whether an otzar between Rav Chisda and Rav Kana, whether stam otzar is pater or a stam otzar is actually machlokas tanaim. And with the bottom of Yiral from Ralph, they're going to debate how to read a brisa, and we're going to try to come to some conclusion in that. Then we're going to talk about if room is the what the various requirements are for room to be chayiv mezuzah in terms of its usage, what types of things it has to be used for in order to be chayiv mezuzah. And then we're going to talk about the structure of the doorway. There's an arched doorway. If you just glance at Yeral Fam Beis, you'll see pictures on Yeral Fam Beis in the margin of the page. These arched doorways bring up a whole other issue. And then we're going to talk about whether a Beis HaKnesses requires a mezuzah, whether a place that's miyuchad for women or a place that's owned by Shutfin requires a mezuzah. All of the halachas of mezuzah that are going to come up in one fashion or another on today's daf. So we left off though yesterday with a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan with regard to whether the Lishchas Parhedrin required a mezuzah, that special room that the Kohen Gadol was placed for a week before Yom Kippurim, did that require a mezuzah? So everyone said that it does require a mezuzah. The question is why it requires a mezuzah. The Rabbanan hold that the requirement is midaraisa, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, the requirement is only a requirement midarabbanan because it's a gezera that we're afraid shelo yomer Kohen Gadol chavish bebeis haasurin, that if we don't put a mezuzah on that Lishcha, people are going to think that the Kohen Gadol is being locked up in jail, just like a jail cell would not require a mezuzah. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have a mezuzah there because he's being locked up in jail. But the Rabbanan held that no, that he's really genuinely chayiv. That room is genuinely chayiv in mezuzah as a beis dira. So says the Gemara, man tana la haditan Rabbanan. So who's the author of the following brayso? So we're now in the tapir ralph and ralph. Kol ha'sha'arim shahayu sham lo hayu lehem mezuzah chutz mishar nikanar shelefnim yimenu lishchas parhedrin. That all of the gates that they had in the Beis HaMikdash that are on the, as Rashi says, the Shari Mizrach Azara, the gates on the eastern side of the Azara, did not have a mezuzah except for Shari Nikanar. The Gra changes it to Shar HaMayim, that Shelefnimi Menel Lishchas Parhedrin, because inside of that gate, that was the way to get through, to get into the Lishchas Parhedrin. So that's the only one that had a mezuzah. So Lema Rabbanan, he, that Braisa that says that the gate that leads to the Lishchas Parhedrin gets a mezuzah, must be assumed like the Rabbanan. Below Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Lishchas Parhedrin itself didn't really require a mezuzah midaraisa, so the whole requirement was only midrabanan. So we're going to make a gzera l'gzera that you're going to have to not only require a mezuzah on the Lishchas Parhedrin, but on the shar that leads toward the Lishchas Parhedrin as well. That wouldn't make much sense. So it must be that it's assuming like the Rabbanan that midaraisa, it requires the Lishchas Parhedrin requires a mezuzah, and therefore it's only one gzera that we make a mezuzah even on the gateway that leads to the Lishchas Parhedrin. Says Gemara, "Afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda." No, we could even say that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, and you wouldn't call it a gzera l'gzera. It's all considered a single gzera. What does it mean it's all considered a single gzera? Meaning that the gzera is to treat a Lishchas Parhedrin like a Beis Dira. The halacha then is that when you have a gateway that leads toward a Beis Dira, so the gateway requires mezuzah. So it's only one gzera. The gzera is just not formulated as put a mezuzah on this door. The gzera is formulated as treat the Lishchas Parhedrin like a Beis Dira. Then mela, what follows after you treat the Lishchas Parhedrin like a Beis Dira is that a Beis Shar into the Lishchas Parhedrin requires a mezuzah. That's an important halacha, that a gateway toward a room is going to require a mezuzah as well, even if it doesn't lead directly into the room. Very often you have in a home that when you go into the house, there's like a small closet area, a small area where there's a front closet, like a mudroom or something, a very tiny room, less than dalet al dalet, and then you go into the larger room. So why do we require a mezuzah on the first entranceway? Because that leads into the main room. Since it's going to lead into the main room, even though not directly, you have to go through another doorway till you get into the main room, you still require a mezuzah on the initial doorway. So that's kulucha de gzera. Tan rabbanan. So along those lines, we have a brisa that says as follows: Bisharecha echad shari batim ve'echad shari chatzeros ve'echad shari medinos ve'echad shari ayaros. All different types of gates, whether they are the gateways to houses, to courtyards, to provinces, to large cities. So all of them yesh ben chovas mitzvah lemakom. They all have a requirement of a mezuzah on all of these different gateways. Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says uchsafta al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha, that you should not only write the mezuzos on you should not only put a mezuzah on the doorway to your house, but also on the doorway to your shaarim, on all of the gateways. Amle Abay l'Rav Safra, hani avuli de mechuzah, my time loved the l'ruvan on the mezuzah. So granted, now that you told me that there's a din that every shaar requires a mezuzah, what about the shaar of the city of mechuzah, where it was a majority Jewish residence of the town of mechuzah, and the rabbanah never had them put up a mezuzah? Why is there no mezuzah on the gateway into the town of mechuzah? So he says two possibilities. First possibility, the Gemara says, "Amalei hanu chizik la'akra dekuvi huda avidi." That doorpost is only it only provides structural support. As you see, Rashi la'akra dekuvi. Binyan banu yalehen v'nikra kove v'asharim tachta v'asuyin ki kipa u'binyan banu yal gabi kipin chazak yoser, that they made they built something over those gateways, and the whole purpose of the gateway was they formed it in the form of an arch so that it would provide support for the binyan. But that itself, it's just structural, and therefore it's not meant to be a real doorway. Armle v'akra dekuvi gufati bayu mezuzah tayis padiru l'shomer beis hasurin. So Gemara says, yeah, but that building that they had on top of it, that itself requires a mezuzah, because that has a beis dira in it. It has a place where the guard who guards all the prisoners stands, and that it lives in that place. Tatanya beis haknesses sheish ba beis dira lechazan haknesses chayavus b'mezuzah. After all, didn't we learn in a brisa, and this brisa is going to come again, that when you have the Beis HaKnesses that has a Beis Dira for the Gabbai, for whoever takes care of the for the Shamash rather, whoever takes care of the Beis HaKnesses is going to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So you see that that as long as there's a dwelling place within the larger structure, it's going to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So why should the gateways to this town be any different when they have this building built on it, and the building houses somebody inside of it? It should be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So says the Gemara, there must be some other explanation why we don't have a mezuzah on the gateways of mechuzah. Ella amar Abaye mishum sakana. No, it's an issue of sakana is the reason that they don't put a mezuzah on those gateways of mechuzah. As Rashi says, shlo yomar hamelech kshafim asisem b'shari iri. We don't want the king to say, you're doing some sort of kishuf, some sort of witchcraft in the gates of my city. I don't like this. I don't like these scrolls that you're placing up in the gates of my city. So that's going to be a sakana for Klal Yisrael. D'tanya, mezuzas yachid nivdakas pamayim b'shvua. Like the Brisa tells us, a mezuzah of an individually owned mezuzah is checked twice every 7 years. Vishal rabim pamayim biyovel, and a mezuzah of a rabim is checked twice every yovel, twice every 50 years. Va'am Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda had commented, Ma'ase bar tavin echad sheyabodik mezuzas b'shuk ha'elyon shel tzipori. How frequently a mezuzah is checked is totally irrelevant to the point the Gemara is trying to make. The Brisa is just introducing a story that there was a story once in the Shuk HaElyon Shel Tzipori. A guy was checking the mezuzos, umatzu kastor echad, and he found a certain officer, v'natal menu elef, certain officer found him rather, v'natal menu elef zuz, and he took 1,000 zuz from him. So the point is that it's going to be a sakana. They are always going to be suspicious of whatever it is that we're doing when we're putting mezuzos up, when we're checking mezuzos. Mezuzos are a suspicious activity to people who are not familiar with halacha. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, could that really happen? A guy is checking mezuzahs, he's doing such a wonderful mitzvah, and he's gonna be harmed from doing a mitzvah. V'amar Rav Elazar, shluch mitzvah nizokin. Didn't Rav Elazar teach us that when one is a shliach mitzvah, one does not get damaged when they're a shliach mitzvah? So says the Gemara, it depends. Heicha tekviya hazeka shayni. When you're doing a dangerous thing, so then there's no such rule that shluch mitzvah nizokin. Shluch mitzvah nizokin is that a person is on his way to do a mitzvah, so something out of the ordinary is not going to happen to him, and he's not going to be hurt in an out of the ordinary way. But if a person is doing something that's inherently dangerous, the shluch mitzvah is not going to stop him from being hurt by the inherent danger in his activity. How do I know this? Because the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Eilech v'shama Shaul v'hargeni." Shmuel says, "How can I go? Shaul's going to hear, and he's going to kill me." Hashem told Shmuel, "I want you to go and anoint a new king. There's going to be a guy, and he's telling him basically to find David HaMelech and to anoint him as a new king." And Shmuel says, "But there is a king right now. There's Shaul, and if Shaul finds out that I'm going to anoint a new king, I'm married b'malchus. He's going to kill me. So how can I possibly go and do that?" Vayomer Hashem. So Hashem says, "Okay, we'll come up with a plan. Eglas bakar tikach v'yadech v'amartel zbach l'Hashem basi. Take a little animal with you, and then any time where anyone asks you, 'Where are you going?' instead of saying, 'Oh, I'm going to anoint a new king,' you could say, 'I'm going to shech this eglas bakar. I have this little animal. I'm going to shech this animal.' And it's not going to be a lie, because Yitaka will shech the animal, so don't worry about that either. So you can go and you can take that animal, and that way no one will ever find out that you're going to anoint a new king, so that's why it's not going to be a problem." So you see from there that what was Shmuel afraid of? How could Shmuel be afraid of Kodesh Baruch Hu had told him that you can go and everything's going to be okay? So you see that Shmuel had a right to be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, "What are you afraid of? Shluchim mitzvah nizak, and you're not going to be hurt. I told you to go." No, he had a right to be afraid because it was Heichud Shchiach Hazeka. It was a case where it would be very common for damage to happen. There is an interesting comment the Rambam has in the Shmona Prakim, where the Rambam says that if a person wants to be a Navi, so there are certain requirements you have to be a Navi. A person has to have Milus HaSichlios, a person has to be very intelligent, and he also has to have Milus HaMidos, he has to be a very refined person. But even so, the Rambam says you can be the most intelligent person, the most refined person in the world, and you're still not necessarily going to be a Navi. Then you still have to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Nevuah. It's still going to be a gift, ultimately. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the decision whether you become a Navi or not. But the Rambam says, some people may make the mistake and think that in order to be a Navi, one has to be perfect in their bitachon. They have to be perfect in their emunah bitachon Hashem. He says, it's not true. You don't have to be perfect in your bitachon of Hashem to be a Navi. You have to be good, but you don't have to be perfect. And he has two rayas. One raya is from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was afraid that what's Esav going to do to me? So in Yonah Dioma, Yaakov Avinu was afraid about meeting Esav, and even though Hashem had told him that everything's going to be okay, Hashem told him that he's going to protect him, so how could Yaakov Avinu be afraid? So you see that there was a problem with his bitachon. He wasn't perfect in his bitachon. If the Ram didn't say it, we couldn't say such a thing. And the other is Shmuel, that Shmuel was afraid. Hashem told him, "Go and anoint David as a king," and Shmuel was afraid that Shaul was going to kill him. So you see that Shmuel wasn't perfect in his bitachon, says the Rambam. So the commentary in the Rambam, the Chesed Avram, says, wait a second, the Gemara thought of both of those kashas. The Gemara asked the kasha, how could Shmuel question Hashem? Hashem told him to go. What was Shmuel afraid of? So the Gemara answered, Shmuel was afraid because it was a Shchiach Hazeka. It was you're allowed to be afraid. The promise doesn't apply when it's Shchiach Hazeka. And the same with Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara asked the kasha about Yaakov Avinu. How could Yaakov Avinu lack the bitachon? Hashem told him everything's going to be okay. So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, he was afraid, Shema Yigrom Achet, that maybe the promise was only if he doesn't do anything wrong, but maybe in the intervening years between the promise and when he goes and meets up with Esav, maybe he did some averos that nullify the promise. That's why Yaakov Avinu was afraid. It wasn't a fundamental lack of bitachon. It was a Shema Yigrom Achet. So that's the kasha that they ask on the Ram. So the Chesed Avram suggests that there's Shnei Minei Bitachon. There are two types of bitachon. I don't remember if the Chesed Avraham suggests himself or if this is from Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan quotes this whole story in Kovitz Ma'amarim. So he says, there are shnei minei bitachon. There are two types of bitachon. There's bitachon when Hashem makes a specific promise, where you have to believe that when Hashem tells you something, it's true. And then there's bitachon that most of us have, where Hashem didn't promise us anything. We just have to have bitachon that Hashem is generally going to use his midas harachamim and not going to use his midas hadin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes runs the world with a little more rachamim, and sometimes runs the world with a little more din. So we have to have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to generally use his midas harachamim and not his midas hadin. So the kasha the Gemara was asking, both by Shmuel and by Yaakov, was Hashem made a promise. Hashem said it's going to be okay. So what are you worried about? So that the Gemara says, Yaakov was afraid Shem Yigram Achet, Shmuel was afraid Shchiyah Hezekah, but the general kasha, just, okay, good, so the promise isn't valid anymore. Now you know what you are? You're a regular Jew, and a regular Jew has to have bitachon that Hashem is going to use midas harachamim. That's where the Rambam was coming from. Where was the bitachon in the midas harachamim? So Rav Elchanan builds on that, and he says, but wait a second, does Hashem use his midas harachamim with great tzaddikim? There's a Shlach HaKadosh that describes the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, where Moshe Rabbeinu sees the future of what's gonna be with Dor V'Dor Shav, and he sees Rabbi Akiva's skin is going to be combed off with iron combs, and he says, Zu Torah v'zu schara, how could that be? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shtok kachal b'makshav l'fanei, that's what I thought to do. That's what you thought to do. Hashem did that. So Shlach HaKadosh means, no, that's how I thought to run the world, with Midas Hadin. Every once in a while, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he originally created with Midas Hadin, but then he saw that no one's going to survive. So Mishtatif Midas Harachim with Midas Hadin. Every once in a while, you have a really special tzaddik who's able to survive with Midas Hadin and will earn his place in Olam Haba. Ideally, we should all be judged with Midas Hadin so we could earn our place in Olam Haba. It's not going to be Nama to Kisufa. It's not going to be like embarrassing. Like it's a gift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we get our Olam Haba. We should earn it. But Elamai, none of us would survive. But every once in a while, you have a tzaddik like Rabbi Akiva who's going to be able to earn it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, he gets Midas Hadin. He doesn't get Midas Harachmin. So Frex Rav Elchanan Akasha and Kovitz Mamarim, he says, so if Rabbi Akiva was great enough that he gets Midas Hadin, not Midas Harachmin, Mistama, Shmuel, and Yaakov Avinu were also great enough that they only get Midas Hadin. So then we're back to the Kasha. They shouldn't have had. What's the whole kasha? What's the Rambam's assertion that they should have had bitachon? Bitachon in what? That Hashem's going to use midas harachamim? But they're such great tzaddikim. Why should they have bitachon that Hashem's going to use midas harachamim? Hashem doesn't use midas harachamim with such great tzaddikim. So the Chama leaves it as a kasha. Okay, but the Gemara also happens to mention over here this halacha that we check a mezuzah once. Depends on what type of mezuzah it is. That if it's a mezuzah hayachid, we check it twice every 7 years. If it's a mezuzah harabim, we check it twice every 50 years, once every 25 years. So the Rashi over here gives two reasons why we check the mezuzahs. It's a very short Rashi, but in that Rashi he fits in two reasons why we check the mezuzah. First of all, there's a concern that maybe the mezuzah gets worn out and becomes puzzle. And second of all, you have to make sure that it wasn't stolen from inside the case with obvious nafkaminas. If it's that the scroll and the ink may have become worn out, so checking, what do you have to check? You have to actually read it. If the concern was not that it got worn out, but the concern is that it was stolen, so you don't need to read it, you just need to see that it's still there, and just see that there are still words there, that it wasn't taken there, it's just still a scroll that's present. Furthermore, not enough, I mean, if the mezuzah were kept in a very secure location that thieves could never possibly access, it was under some sort of alarm or something, so then maybe you won't have to check it out of the second concern, but you still have to check it for the concern that it would that it would maybe get worn out. Poskim seem to assume that we're machmir for both reasons, that we check it for both reasons. Now, most of the time when we get a mezuzah checked, wisely we have a sofer check it, but it's interesting, the Pesachei Tshuva in Yerodea and some Reish Tzadi Aleph, Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chassam Sofer that the truth is, in order to check a mezuzah, all you need is someone who could read Hebrew and make sure that and knows that what all the letters are supposed to be. So all you got to do is read all the letters and make sure none of them are rubbed out. Now that's provided that you once had a sofer check it. If a person never had a sofer check the mezuzah ever, so then you can't check it yourself because there are certain things that you're never going to catch that a sofer will be able to catch. But if you had a sofer check it once and you know that it had the proper ksav and you know that it had all the letters, so you should be able to open it up and to see if it's missing any letters, to see if anything is rubbed out, and if there's anything that looks questionable, then you can bring it to a sofer. That's how the Pesachei Tshuva writes, the Shem Lechsam Sofer, that you don't need to actually bring it to a sofer every time you want to check it. Now the Aruch HaShulchan says the requirement to check twice every seven years assumes that the mezuzah is not exposed to harsh weather conditions, but if it's exposed to very harsh elements, then maybe you should check it every year, the Aruch HaShulchan says. And he says even if you check three or more mezuzahs in your house and you didn't encounter any problems, you still can't assume that that's going to be a chazakah for all the other mezuzahs. An individual mezuzah may have a chazakah within itself, but it's not going to create a chazakah with all the other mezuzahs. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in Alicha Shlomo and the volume on Tefillah in Perek Dalit that if a mezuzah is enclosed in a plastic and it's completely protected from the wall and it's completely protected from the elements, so then this whole halacha doesn't apply. That you could check it much less frequently than every 7 years. Most of the time when they find psulim in the mezuzah, it's a psul that was always there. It's not a psul that developed over time. If you protect your mezuzahs properly, if they're wrapped in plastic and they're wrapped carefully and they're put in a protective case, so most of the time the psul that they're, if they ever find the psul, it's a psul that was always there. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yardei Chelkal Sim Kuf Pei Gimel where he discusses a mezuzah that was painted over and it's difficult to get them out of the wall. So Rav Moshe held that you still have to take them out to check them, and you can't. So someone said, well, why don't you just put another mezuzah? So you don't want to check the old mezuzah. The old mezuzah might have become pustle from the paint. So put another mezuzah. Rav Moshe says, no, that's not a solution. You have to rip out the old one from the wall because putting another mezuzah might be baltosif. I mean, there is a chance that it didn't become pustle when they painted over it. So just putting another mezuzah over it might be a violation of baltosif. Kitz Shulchan Aruch says, an adam chashuv checks a mezuzah every year. That's Kitz Shulchan Aruch writes. Matar Fraim says during Chodesh Elul is the minig when people check mezuzahs. There is a minig that Shuvas Maril already quotes from a long time ago that people check mezuzahs when they're going through particular hardships, and that is related to something. It's not just purely the heebie-jeebie. It's that is related to the Gemara talks about how the mezuzah provides protection. L'man yirbu yimeichem, having kasher mezuzah has certain schools for arichas yamim and for protection of the home, and that's quoted in the Torah. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that we have those elements of mezuzah. Whenever I discuss this with Rav Shechter, he's always very uncomfortable with that. He says, no, it means the schar of doing a mitzvah. Like you do any mitzvah, it's going to be all mitzvahs. Mitzvahs give you a skula that they protect you. Like he was very uncomfortable with the idea that a mezuzah somehow protects you more than other mitzvahs. I don't know, it sounds that way. It really sounds that way when you read the Torah Beis Yosef, when you read the Poskim. Okay, Tani Rav Kana Kamed Rav Yehuda. Beis HaTaven, Beis HaBakor, Beis HaEitzim. When you have a storage facility, so Beis HaOtros, Peturim in a mezuzah, where you keep straw, where you keep cattle, where you keep wood, or anything you store, Peturim in a mezuzah, they're part of a mezuzah, Mipnei Sha'anashim Neosos Behen. Because women use them for beautifying themselves. Mine osos, what does it mean they use them for beautifying themselves? Rochtos. It means that they bathe themselves in such places. Amalei Rav Yehuda, time of the rochtos, hastamach hayavin. Sounds like that it's only because they bathe themselves, but otherwise, a stam storage facility sounds like would be chayiv in mezuzah, that it's only because they bathe themselves there that it's pater. So, Vatanya, Rav is bakar patur ben mezuzah, but we have a brisa that a Rav is bakar is pater from mezuzah. So how can you say a stam storage facility is chayiv? My neosos miskashtos. So no, what does neosos mean? Neosos means that they put on their makeup and they miskashit themselves in that area. V'hachi katani. And this is what it's telling me. Afal pisha nashim miskashtos ben paturim. That really storage facilities are butter. And you might think that if women are miskashit in them, so that's like a living usage of the room. So the room is not just being used for storage. It's being used to be lived in also. So what the women do in the room is not a reason to pater the room from a zuzah. Rabba, the room otherwise would have been pater. What the women do in the room might have been a reason to be mechayev it in mezuzah. So that's what the Bryce is telling me. That's what the Bryce is telling me. That afvisha miskashos behen, it's still going to be pater. So I'm later of Kahana v'shanosh miskashos behen paturin. Is that true? A room that a woman gets miskashed herself in is pater. V'atanya revis bakor paturin mezuzah v'shanosh miskashos behen chayavos b'mezuzah. But the Bryce says otherwise. The Bryce says that if a woman is miskashed in a room and that's otherwise used just as a refes bakar, it's now going to be chayiv in mezuzah, that creates a mechayiv elamayisach l'meimar miskashos tanayi. So what are you going to say? You're obviously going to say that miskashos is machlokas tanayim, meaning you have no other option but to say that meaning since you have conflicting braces about whether miskashos creates a chayiv or not, that a room that a woman is miskashed in is a machlokas tanayim. It's conflicting prices. So he says, L'didi nami, so I also hold stama tanaihi, that a stama storage facility is a machlokas tanaim. Meaning you asked on me, Rav Kana said in front of Rabbi Yehuda, that all these storage facilities are potter from mezuzah. only because Nashim Neosos Ben, but otherwise they'd be Chayiv. And you said, aye, but we have a different price, so that a storage facility is Pater. I said that a regular storage facility is Chayiv, and we have a different price, so that says storage facility is Pater. So I hold that it's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether a storage facility is Chayiv or Pater or Mezuzah. So it's that simple. The Tanya, Beischa, Beischa, Miyuchadach, Prat, Lebes HaTevin, Lebes HaBakor, Lebes HaEtzel, Lebes HaOso, Shepetur Min HaMezuzah, V'yesh, Mechayivin. There you have it, explicitly in the Braisa, that Tanakama says all of these storage facilities are pots from mezuzah. Some people hold that they're chayiv in mezuzah, so it's a machlokas tanaim. Be'emes amru, beis hakisei, beis haborski, beis hamerchatz, beis hatvila, veshanashim neosos ben, pturim in a mezuzah. But a room that's used for a degrading type of use, like a beis hakisei, a tanning, a room where they tan hides, a bathhouse, a place where the mikvah, place where women are neosos ben, all those are pots from mezuzah. So how does each Rav Kahana and Rav Chista, how does each one, Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda rather, how does each one explain the Braisa? So Rav Kahana Mataris Tameh, Rav Yehuda Mataris Tameh. Rav Kahana Mataris Tameh, Rav Kahana will explain the Braisa as follows. Beischa, Beischa, Miyuchadach, Prat le Beis HaTevon, le Beis HaBakor, le Beis HaEtzel, le Beis HaOtzros, Shepetur Min HaMezuzah. Beischa means it's got to be your house, a house that's used for living. A house that's used for storage is Pater from Min HaMezuzah, Bistam. In a regular storage room, it's Pater from Mezuzah. V'yesh HaMechayvim Bistam. And some say that a stam storage facility is chayiv in mezuzah. Good, so that's the machlokas tanaim about a regular storage facility. Be'emes amru, beis hakisei, beis haborski, beis hamerchatz, beis hatfila, v'shanashim neosos ben, and a place where women are neosos ben. And what does that mean? Well, look at the context. We're putting it together with a beis hakisei and with a tanning place. My neosos, rochzos. It's a place where women bathe. That's why it's a degrading type of usage, because a woman's always undressed there. So pturim min hamezuzah. So such rooms are going to be potter from mezuzah. So says the Gemara, ihachi anu merchatz. Wait, if that's what it means, a room that nashim neosos ben means, a place where women bathe, isn't that the same thing as a beis hamerchatz? So says the Gemara, ashmin merchatz rama. Mashmin merchatz tiyachid. Beis hamerchatz is a public beis hamerchatz. Nashim neosos ben is private one. Salka de dechamina merchatz rabin de nafesh zuame. Av merchatz tiyach v'lo nafesh zuame eme lechayv b'mezuzah. Kamash mulan. One might have otherwise thought that a public merchatz, where there's a lot of gross stuff in a public merchatz, so that's going to be pater from mezuzah. But maybe a private merchatz, a private bathhouse, maybe would be chayv in mezuzah. That's why it has to tell us merchatz twice. Tells us about a regular merchatz, tells us about a woman, a room rather, shanashim neosos ben, which is also a reference to a type of merchatz. So that's how Rav Kahana would be mitaritz, Rav Yehuda mitaritz tamei, and Rav Yehuda would be mitaritz the braisa as follows. Hachi ktani, beischa, beischa miyuchadach, prat lebeis hatevon, lebeis habakor, lebeis haetzim, lebeis haotzros, shepetur min hamezuzah, afilu miskashtos, that these storage rooms are part from mezuzah, even if women are miskashet in them. But a storage room, a stam storage room, is always pater from mezuzah. The chiddush is that even if a woman uses it for some sort of living usage, not a degrading usage, a living usage, still, since these are primarily storage facilities, they're going to be pater from mezuzah. V'yesh mechayvin b'miskashtos. And some say that, no, if women are miskashet in them, then they become chayiv. Aval stam, divrei akol pater. But if it's a stam storage facility, then everyone would agree that it's Pater. The MS Amru, Beis Hakisei, Beis Haborski, Beis Hamerchatz, Beis Hatvila, Af Pisha, Nashim Miskashos Ben, Pter Min HaMezuzah Mishum D'Nafesh Zuameh. Now, if the room has a degrading type of usage, then the fact that women are miskashet is not going to help according to anybody. Meaning, when you have a room that's a storage facility, so it's not used for Dira, so does the fact that women are miskashet in that room sometimes, does it help to make it a Beis Dira, to be Chayav Mezuzah? That's a Machlokas Tanoim, says Rav Yehuda. But when you have a room that is a degrading usage, it's a room where people bathe in, it's a room where people relieve themselves in, the fact that women happen to be miskashet in that room is for sure not going to be mechayev in a mezuzah. Many women put on their makeup and are miskashet in the bathroom, and we still don't put mezuzahs on our bathroom because it's a degrading usage. That's not going to save a room that has a degrading usage. Rav Yehuda stama divrei akol pater. Wait a second. Does Rav Yehuda think everybody holds all all the Tanaim agree that a stam storage facility is pater. Vatanya b'sharecha echad shari batim vechad shari chateros vechad shari medinos vechad shari ayaros v'refes v'lulinum matvin v'altzus yayin v'altzus shemen chayavin b'mezuzah. We have the Brisa that tells us all of these different types of gates and all of these different types of storage facilities are chayavin mezuzah. Yachol shani marbes, I might think to include af beis sharach sadru marpesas, that a beis sharach sadru marpesas, a beis sharach, he says, a bayis katan that they make in front of the sharach chatzer, where that everyone uses it to cut through into the chatzer. And a sadra is like a gazebo, and a marpesas is like a porch. So you might think beis sharach sadru marpesas tamalom rabayis. Ma bayis miuchal ledira, yatsuwe l'shein miuchadun ledira. So that's why the pasuk says bayis, there has to be something that's miuchad for dira. So yachol shani marba af beis hakisei, beis habursiki, beis hamerchat, beis hatvila. So I might think, okay, great. So now I could even be marba, even rooms that have a degrading usage. Tamlomer bias. Ma bias asu the kavod, af kala asu the kavod. That's why bias teaches me that it only things that are similar to a bias require mezuzah. A bias is used for a dignified usage. These things are not used for dignified usages. Yatsu elu shein asu in the kavod. And that's why they're part of mezuzah. Yachol shani marba af harabayis va lishchos va azaros. You might think to include the harabayis, lishchos, azaros also require mezuzah. Tamlomer bias. Ma bias shuchol af kol shuchol. Just like a bias is mundane, so too only things that have mundane usages are chayv and mezuzah, yatsuelu shein kodesh. But these things have kodesh usages. So this whole brisa, what was the whole thing quoted for? We wanted to show that that there is a machlokas tanaim about a regular storage facility. So tiyufta, the Gemara Taka proves that. In the end of the day, we see that there is a machlokas tanaim about a regular storage facility, that you cannot say that everyone holds that a regular storage facility is for sure pater from mezuzah. So the first of all, the definition of a storage facility is an interesting discussion in Poskim as well. Meaning, let's say a person moves all of his, this happens all the time, people move into a new home. So they have the moving truck, and the moving truck drops off all their stuff in the home. But they're not ready to actually live in the house that day when the moving truck dropped everything in the home. They want to take a few days to put their house together while they're still living in their old home. They're living by their parents. They're somewhere else. They're not sleeping in the new home yet. So on the surface, it would seem, if you move all your possessions into your new home, but you haven't started living there yet, it should still require a mezuzah, because it's a facility that stores all of the person's belongings. So you should need to put up a mezuzah right away before you move in, because it's a storage facility. However, it would seem that it does not have a din of a base house. It does not have a din of a storage facility. Why not? Because it's a home. Its primary purpose is meant to be used as a home. You happen to be storing things also in there, but it doesn't seem that we would follow what it's being used for right now. It seems that we would follow what it's clearly meant to be used for. You could bring a rias to that from the following. Shulchan Aruch in Resh Pei Vav Sif Gimel says that a shul doesn't have, that we just saw the brisa before, that a shul only requires a mezuzah if someone lives there. If no one lives, doesn't have a living quarters attached to it, so a shul is pater from mezuzah. Aye, but don't you use the shul to store the Sefer Torah and to store all the Svarim and to store all the tables and the chairs and everything else? The shul stores so much stuff. It's a storage facility, so it should be chayv mezuzah because it's a storage facility. Elamai, it's not a storage facility. It's a makom tefillah. It happens to be that it also stores certain things. So a house also, it's not a storage facility. Your home, even if before you've actually moved in, you're not going to say that it's a storage room. It's not a storage room. It's a house. It just happens to be that it's storing certain things. Another right, the Rush in the Menachos, in Hilchos Mezuzah, Simin Aleph, says that a house without a roof doesn't require a mezuzah, but a gateway to a courtyard requires a mezuzah even when there's no roof. That the Gemara says, the Rush explains, because a courtyard typically doesn't have a roof. A house normally does have a roof. So if a house is missing a roof, it's a chisaron. A courtyard is missing a roof, it's not a chisaron. So that's just the normal usage. So apparently when Chazal determined that a courtyard would require a mezuzah, they didn't demand that it meet the standards of a house. It only had to meet the standards of a courtyard. The fact that it's generally used in a different manner alters the criteria for the requirement of a mezuzah. So over here also, the fact that a house is generally used as a place to live and not as a place to store items allows the house to be judged based on the criteria set forth for a beis dira, not to be judged based on the criteria set forth for a beis ha'otzer. Now, based on that approach, we could also explain the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Pesachei Tshuva's problem with Rabbi Akiva Eger. I mentioned once in Shul, it's a startling Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger holds, if you ever go on vacation, or even go to work, and you leave your house empty, when you come home, you need to, it's Tasav Lomina Asui, you need to take off your mezuzah, put it up again, because otherwise it's Tasav Lomina Asui, because the house was putter from mezuzah while you were gone. And now it becomes Chayvim, because no one was living there while you were away. And now you come back from vacation, you need to put up all your mezuzahs again. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's startling chumrah. So the Pesachei Tshuva in the Sefer Nachlas Tzvi on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Pesachei Tshuva has comments called Nachlas Tzvi. He says, no, I'll tell you why you don't have to do it. Because even while you're gone, your house is storing all of your furniture. So it's Chayiv and Mezuzah the whole time because it's a storage facility. And based on this, it doesn't seem that that's the case. It doesn't seem that you would ever call your house a Beis HaOtzer. Pashtus is that the reason it's Chayiv and Mezuzah the whole time is because the way you live is not a Beis HaSurim. It's not that you're locked there. The Gemara just say, not that you're locked in that place the entire time. And the normal way to live is that you sometimes leave, you sometimes go on vacation, you sometimes go to work, you sometimes go to the store. That's the way normal people live. So that's that doesn't seem to be the greatest. It seems that Rabbi Akiva Eger would be. We disagree with Rabbi Akiva Eger for other reasons, not for the reason that the Pesachei Tshuva says. Now, in the end of the day, so what do we paskin? We have this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda holds that only if women use storage rooms to put on their perfume and their jewelry, it's chayiv mezuzah, but otherwise storage rooms are patur. Rav Kana holds that storage rooms are always chayiv mezuzah. So it's actually machlokas rishonim, surprisingly, because the Gemara seems to come to a pretty clear conclusion. Right? So it's actually machlokas rishonim. The Rush and the Rif hold like Rav Kana that they require a mezuzah, whether women use them or not, that all storage facilities require a mezuzah. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Chazayin, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that only if a woman uses it or someone uses it for some type of living usage, does it also require a mezuzah. It's interesting, Ketzer Mishnah says, what's the Nukudas HaMachlokas between the Rambam and the Rush? He says it's all in the phrase, Tani Rav Kahana Kameid Rav Yehuda. That Rav Kahana, the whole conversation started with Rav Kahana saying something in front of Rav Yehuda. So what does it mean Rav Kahana said something in front of Rav Yehuda? The way the Rambam understands it, says the Ketzer Mishnah, is that Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, which means that you have a machlokas between a Talmud and a Rav. Ein halachah Talmud, makom Rav, you always pass like the Rebbe over the Talmud. So that's why the Rambam wants to pass like Rav Yehuda, is not going to pass like Rav Kahana. There is a competing principle, Hilchos HaKibasroi. Margolios Hayam in Sanhedrin Davav explains that Hilchos HaKibasroi is only when the Talmud and the Rebbe didn't get to talk it over. But when the Talmud and the Rebbe got to talk it over, and the Rebbe heard what the Talmud had to say, and the Rebbe said, I hear you, and I disagree with you, then we pass on like the Rebbe over the Talmud. If the Rebbe never heard the Talmud's perspective, then we pass on like the Talmud over the Rebbe. But the Rush and the Rif hold that Rav Kahana was not a Talmud of Rav Yehuda. In fact, we know Rav Kahana from the Gemara Baba Kama was a Talmud of Rav. So Rav Kahana just happened to have been speaking in front of Rav Yehuda, but that doesn't mean that you have to pass in that way. That's how the Ketzer Mishnah understands the Nekudas HaMachlokas. In Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Pevav, Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch clearly passed like the Rush and Rav Kahana, that rooms like that do require a mezuzah, even if women do not use them. Storage rooms do require a mezuzah. The Biragra points out, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita seems to be rejected at the conclusion of the Gemara. So that clearly leads to the very obvious psak that you should pass on like Rav Kahana. In fact, the Rambam is a little bit difficult. It's very difficult to understand the Shita's HaRambam. There is a discussion that there's another girsa in the Rif. Maybe the Rambam really agrees with the Rif. Maybe it's not really such a machlok. But anyway, that is the discussion about storage facilities. Let's see the Gemara Vayter. There's a lot more to talk about. Let's see Vayter. Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Kameid Rava, Shisha Sha'arim Peturim Min HaMezuzah. There are six different types of gates that are part of a mezuzah, and they are Beis HaTevenu, Beis HaBakor, Beis HaEitzum, Beis HaOtzros, Vishar HaMadai, Vishar She'enu Makura, Vishar She'enu Gavoa Yud. A place where you store grain and cattle and wood and general storage, and the Shar HaMadai, which we'll get into what that means, and a gate that's not doesn't have a roof on it, and something that's not 10 tefachim high. So Amalei pasachta b'shisha v'salakta b'shiva. So you said that there are six, and then you just listed seven different things that are part of a mezuzah. So Amalei shara madai tanaihi. The shara madai is machlokas tanaim. What's a shara madai? Shara madai is an arched doorway. So that's machlokas tanaim. Did Tanya? We have a brisa. Kipa Rav Meir mechayiv b'mezuzah. mezuzah v'cham potrim. Machlokas tanaim. Reb Meir holds that an arch doorway is chayav mezuzah v'cham, holds an arch doorway is potter from mezuzah. V'shavin shem yesh barag la'asara shechayav from mezuzah. Everyone agrees though that if an arch doorway reaches a height of 10 tefachim, where before it narrows to less than 4 tefachim wide, then everyone would agree that the arch doorway is going to be chayiv and mezuzah. Everyone would agree in that case. So most of our arch doorways, there's no shaila that it's chayiv and mezuzah because they reach 10 tefachim of height before they narrow to less than 4 tefachim of width. Amar Rabbi Dukuli Am LaGavoa Yud Ve'in Barag LaGimel V'Lav Klumhi. Everyone would agree that if it narrows to less than 4 tefachim wide, by the time it's 3 tefachim off the ground, then everyone would agree it's for sure pater. Or if the entire height of the doorway is less than 10 tefachim, everyone would agree that's pater as well. What type of arch do they argue about? If in total the arch reaches 10 tefachim high, and at a height of 3 tefachim off the ground, it's still 4 tefachim wide, but by the time it gets to 10 tefachim off the ground, it has narrowed to less than 4 tefachim wide. That's where there's a machlokas. Rameir Savar Chokik in Lahashlam. Rameir says we draw an imaginary, we pretend as if we have carved it out straight up from where the doorway starts, from the 3 tefachim mark height of the doorway, and carve out a rectangle, and therefore it's a 10 tefach high doorway that's 4 tefachim wide, and it's chayiv mezuzah. V'Rabbanan Savri Ein Chokik in Lahashlam. And the Rabbanan hold that we do not carve it out, we do not pretend to be carving it out, it's Ein Chokik in Lahashlam. So that's the machlokas. Now the exact definition of yesh bragla asara is actually a machlokas rishonim. Rashi over here in Yuma says that even if the entire doorway is on an arch, if the width of the doorway is at least 4 tefachim at 10 tefachim of height off the ground, then everyone's going to hold it's going to require a mezuzah. So long as the doorway is 10 tefachim in height and 4 tefachim in width, even if the whole thing is shaped like an arch, if there was never a straight part, the whole thing is curved, it's still going to be chayiv mezuzah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in the sixth paragraph of mezuzah says that a doorway that's completely arched is part of a mezuzah because there's no lintel. In order to be chayiv mezuzah, you need shtei mezuzos and a mashkof. You need a mashkof on top. You don't have that if it's a completely arched doorway. Only if there are two side posts that stand erect and then you have an arched overhead is that considered a proper lintel. So the Rambam paskins that if the two sides of the doorway are at least 10 tefachim in height before they begin to curve into an arch, then the doorway requires a mezuzah. But if the entire doorway is arched, that it starting at a lower point, then it's pata from mezuzah. So la halacha shulchan aruch paskins and resh pei zayin sif peis like the sheet of the Rambam. So any doorway that doesn't have two straight side posts that stand at least 10 tefachim high does not require a mezuzah. But the Shach on the spot quotes the Shita of Rashi, perhaps trying to tell us that put up a mezuzah there without a bracha. And you wouldn't make a bracha because you don't paskin like Rashi, but the Shach at least mentions the Shita of Rashi, maybe to be choshesh for Rashi. The trick is not whether it needs a mezuzah or not, so you could always put up a mezuzah even without a bracha. The trick is where to put the mezuzah when you have an arched doorway. So that's also a major discussion in the poskim, but we got to get moving. Tan Rabbanan. Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaYisha, Beis HaShutvin, Chayavis B'mezuzah. A Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaYisha, and a Beis HaShutvin are all Chayav B'mezuzah. So Pshita, of course they're all Chayav B'mezuzah. No, Mal Detema, Beis Cha, V'lo Beis Sa. One might have thought it says Beis Cha, so not Beis Sa, it comes to exclude her house. Beis Cha, V'lo Batehem, or Beis Cha is not their house, so if it's a Beis HaShutvin, it should be Pater B'mezuzah. Kamash Mlan. That's why it tells me, no, they're all Chayav B'mezuzah. Ve'ema Chinami, but why do we not say Beis Cha excludes a woman's house or excludes a house of shutfin? So it says, "Amakral the man yirbu yumechem v'imei v'nechem." Because the pasuk says that there's a school of the mezuzah, that the man yirbu yumechem v'imei v'nechem. So hani ba'yuchai v'hani lo ba'yuchai. Why you think that women don't want the long life? So a house that's for women is going to be put from mezuzah? No, they also need a long life. They also need to live. So that's why you're not going to make any drushes to say that they're put from mezuzah. And I guess the gemara is saying the same drusha when it comes to shutfin. That should them also want to live. So you're not going to say a drasha that they're going to be pater from mezuzah. The Beis HaShutvin that we're talking about is when two Jews are partners. When a Jew is a partner with a non-Jew, so that maybe does not have a status of Beis HaShutvin. That's a whole separate discussion. The Rizur Rikvegel points out that the idea that anybody who would be interested in the blessing would be automatically associated with the mezuzah is going to be obligated in the mitzvah would explain why women are obligated to put up a mezuzah on their homes. It would not explain why partners would put up a mezuzah, meaning Rabbi Kivegel is troubled by that part, meaning the din of shutfim is a din of different ownership. There was never a thought that each partner is an individual exempt from the mitzvah. Only the properties that they own together shouldn't require a mezuzah. So the logic that anybody who wants a long life, that makes sense for the women, Rabbi Kivegel points out, makes a little less sense when it comes to partners, meaning that would be like saying someone who lives in a rented house for less than 30 days requires a mezuzah, because what, you think people who live somewhere less than 30 days don't want long life? No, but there are certain peturim from mezuzah. You can't just deny every single peturim from mezuzah based on someone wanting long life. So Rabbi Kivegel deals, the Rashash explains that the logic to require properties by partners in the mitzvah of mezuzah has nothing to do with wanting long life. It's the fact that the promise was written in the plural, Yirbu Yemechem. That's the drasha the Gemara is making. So the plural refers to partners. So Ela Beisecha Lamali. So what do I do with Beisecha? Kedurava, Dam Rava, Derech Biyascha. That it tells me which side to put the mezuzah on. V'chiyakar Nishkari Diyemincha Akar Bereisha. It's the way you walk, and the way a person walks is they pick up the right foot first. So you should put it on the right side going into a room. Tiny Idach Beisach Nes Beis Shulchan Beis Yisha Mitam Bin Nagayim. We have another brayso that all these places are can contract to Saras of Batim. So Pshita Mal Detema. Obviously they can. So it says Rana Mal Detema Barsha Lo Habayis Lo V'Lola Lo V'Lola Hen. Since it says Lo in the singular male, I would think that any female or any group is not subject to Nigei Batim. Kamash Malan. So that's why it tells me yes they are. Veima Chinami, but maybe in a Chinami they're not. So Amar Kra Bebeis Eretz Achuzaschem. So Bebeis Eretz Achuzaschem teaches me in the plural. Ela Lo Lamali. So what does Lo come to teach me? Misha Miyachid Beis Lo. So
if someone refuses to lend anything out and keeps on saying he doesn't have things,
so that it says lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him nigei batim, so that he has to clear everything out of his house and everything's going to be in the street. Everyone's going to see that he has all this stuff and that he was just refusing to be a nice person. Okay, I guess we're in the middle, so we'll pick up from this.